Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bids meeting to order. First order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 44258 through 44280 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statute of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest, there were no letters of protest for today's sale. Tracts recommended for withdrawal. Tract 44277 will be recommended to be withdrawn and will be taken up at the nomination and tract committee meeting. All bids received on this tract will be returned unopened at the conclusion of today's board meeting. And we will proceed with the opening of the bid.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44258, 259, or 260. We did receive one bid on track 44261, advertised as 81 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Santo Exploration, LLC. Santo Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $8,262. $8,262, or a per-acre value of $102. Annual rentals are $4,131. $4,131. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44263, 6465, or 66. We did receive one bid on track 44267, advertised as 1,577.61 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 71.47 acres. 71.47 acres. The bidder is Lobo Operating Inc. Lobo Operating Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,651.35. $14,651.35. Or a per-acre value of $205. Annual rentals are $7,325.68. $7,325.68. Royalties are 21.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44268. R 269. We did receive one bid on track 44270, advertised as 2,500 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 18.6 acres. 18.6 acres. The bidder is Lobo Operating Inc. Lobo Operating Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $7,477.20. $7,477.20, or a per acre value of $402. Annual rentals are $3,738.60. $3,738.60. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on track 44271, advertised as 73 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Dimension Energy CB LLC. Dimension Energy CB LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $18,250. $18,250, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $9,125. $9,125. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44272. We did receive two bids on tracks 44273, advertised as 298.63 acres. The first bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $970,547.50. $970,547.50, or a per acre value of $3,250. Annual rentals are $485,273.75. $485,273.75. Royalties are 25.5%. The second bid on track 44273 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Antrim Exploration LLC. Antrim Exploration LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,061,032.39. $1,061,032.39, or a per acre value of $3,553. Annual rentals are $530,517. $530,517. Royalties are 26.5%. We received two bids on tracks 44274, advertises 381 acres. The first bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Scheffler Energy, LLC. Scheffler Energy, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $820,293. $820,293. Or a per acre value of $2,153. Annual rentals are $410,147. $410,147. $147. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 44274 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $781,050. $781,050, or a per acre value of $2,050. Annual rentals are $390,525. $390,525. Royalties are 25.5%. We received two bids on tracks 44275, advertised as 1.1 acres. The first bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Scheffler Energy, LLC. Scheffler Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $2,368.30. $2,368.30, or a per acre value of $2,153. Annual rentals are $1,185. $1,185. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 44275 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,575. $3,575, or a per acre value of $3,250. Annual rentals are $1,787.50. $1,787.50. Royalties are 25.5%. We received two bids on tracks 44276, advertised as 13.5 acres, and the first bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Scheffler Energy, LLC. Scheffler Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $29,065.50. $29,065.50, or a per acre value of $2,153. Annual rentals are $14,533. $14,533. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 44276 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. Kerry Sue Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $27,675. $27,675, or a per acre value of $2,050. Annual rentals are $13,837 and 50 cents. $13,837.50. Royalties are 25.5%. We are recommending that track 44277 be withdrawn from today's lease sale. We received one bid on track 44278, advertised as 40 acres. And the only bidder is, it's for the entire track. The bidder is Border Exploration, LLC. Border Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,120. $14,120, or a per-acre value of $353. Annual rentals are $7,060. $7,060. Royalties are 21%. We received one bid on track 44279, advertised as 30 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Border Exploration, LLC. Border Exploration, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $10,590. $10,590, or a per-acre value of $353. Annual rentals are $5,295. $5,295. Royalties are 21%. We received two bids on track 44281, advertised as 100 acres. The first bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Scheffler Energy, LLC. Scheffler Energy, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $215,300. $215,300, or a per-acre value of $2,153. The track that's being read right now should be track 44280. I may have inadvertently said 281. The bid I'm reading right now is track 44280 for the entire track, being Scheffler Energy, LLC, with a three-year primary term, cash payment of $215,300. Again, $215,300, or a per-acre value, as mentioned earlier, of $2,153. Annual rentals are $107,650. $107,650. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 44280 is for the entire track, and the bidder is Carrie Sue Energy, Inc. Carrie Sue Energy, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $205,000. $205,000. Or a per-acre value of $2,050. Annual rentals are $102,500. $102,500. Royalties are 25.5%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
Okay, we will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. Committee meetings will begin around 9:30. Thank you.
Louisiana looking for...
Good morning.
But North Louisiana...
A roll call. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura. Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Briette. Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Lambert. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Klein.
Here.
Mr. Height.
Here.
We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting, and I designate Mr. Talbert and Mr. Bradbury to please present the agenda.
Good morning. Chairman Smith, members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. There are 1,061 active leases covering nearly 730,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 210 leases covering approximately 90,000 acres. We do not have any particular leases to bring before this board today. G&E did issue a no objection to a 29E waiver to Hellas Oil and Gas for permission to produce two oil wells simultaneously that are less than 900 feet apart. And I think Mr. Bradbury has a force majeure report.
Good morning, Chairman Smith, members of the board. I have two matters to bring to your attention this morning. One is old business. It involves a force majeure situation that has affected Energy Properties and State Lease 725. And this is still in the aftermath of a 2012 pipeline, Texas gas pipeline explosion that occurred. They have requested an initial six-month extension. Staff is going to recommend that you go ahead and grant that. If there are any other questions, there are representatives of Energy Properties in the audience if you have any other further questions on this matter.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
One more thing.
Do you have any?
Yeah, I have one other matter I wanted to bring to your attention.
Okay.
I just wanted to see if, give you a pause for effect there to see if you guys want to add any additional questions on the matter.
Any other questions? Please proceed.
Okay. The second matter is a new event. Saratoga Resources, on behalf of the Harvest Group LLC, who is the lessee of record, has requested a force majeure recognition of an event that occurred affecting State Lease 16386 due to loss of access to a production sales facility operated by a third party. The history behind this is that Saratoga was working on a well to enhance production, and they finished that work on November 20th, 2014. However, they were told by the operator of the facility that the facility was down, could not take their production at that time. So they waited, and they kept asking them. They said, a few more days. This went on until January 21st, 2015, when they were notified that they would no longer be accepting any production at the facility from Saratoga's operating company. There's a whole bunch of names in here. You've got the Harvest Group is our lessee, and then the operator of record is Lobo, but they're all Saratoga. So they were told that they wouldn't receive any additional production until after January 28th. The communications problems basically broke down here. The operator would not allow the Saratoga to turn the well on for a test unless Saratoga would tell them how much the thing would produce. Saratoga didn't know how much it would produce without testing it. You got that little thing going on. Anyways, the staff recognized a force majeure under the authority delegated by the board in the 2005 policy under the following conditions. First, we are going to suspend the 90-day clause or the 90-day clock on January 21st, 2015 until the June 10th, 2015 board meeting. With that, we're going to require that Saratoga amend the lease to provide for oil shut-in language and other any other necessary paragraphs that haven't previously been included. Require that Saratoga test the wells by whatever means necessary before the June 10th, 2015 board meeting. If the well proves to be capable of producing oil or gas in paying quantities, we're going to request they initiate making shut-in payments and then proceed looking for a new market or resolve their issue with the thing. All of that can be done. And the other condition is, and was that if they fail to test the well, amend the lease during this period between January 21st and June 10th of 2015, this will result in the board rescinding the force majeure recognition and will leave Saratoga with 28 days to reestablish production and paying quantities from the lease. And that's it.
Do you have any idea if they're going to resolve this dispute between Energy Properties and Saratoga?
It would be my, I'd have to give you an opinion. My opinion is they've got a real uphill battle. They've got a communication problem right now.
I see. Thank you.
Ms. Smith.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Bradberg. I appreciate your explanation because those answered some of my questions, because my initial question was going to be whether or not the loss of a sales facility was a true force majeure, as opposed to number one, when there's an explosion. To me, that would be, you know, a significant act of God, if you will, or something uncontrollable. I think my major concern, as I listened to your explanation, and I appreciate it, was there a time limit on this release of a lease obligation? And I think you're answering it, and that is they've got to give us some type of answer by June 2015 or else, and you've got certain penalties, if you will, or requirements, if you will, if they don't follow that procedure, right?
That's correct.
And we don't really know what the negotiation is going to result in. But is the department, I guess the department's going to have continual discussion with the parties to try to get them in that position of settling this dispute?
Probably not going to get in the middle of that. What we will do is we'll require that Saratoga continue to make monthly updates to us. They're, you know, as required under the force majeure policy, so we're going to require monthly updates on the matter. And if it doesn't seem like, you know, right now we're trying to get them to a place where they're, you know, they don't have a gun to their head, basically. They can, the lease, where the lease isn't going to expire. And if they go out and test the well and there isn't any production, then we'll have to go to the next step to see what, you know,
right.
Is there anything else in the well and all that. We're trying to work with the company to try to get them in a better position to be able to deal with their problem instead of, you know, you've got 28 days right now floating over your head to put the well back on production. So that's why we suspended the clock.
Yeah, my thought was that, to me, this was not a true force majeure issue. I understand the problem that the companies have, and you've explained it, and I appreciate that. But it's not a truly act of God, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of a dispute between two companies. And I understand we want to try to assist those companies on the same instance. We should be in a position to guarantee that the state is not that the state is protected also in its position. So I would appreciate some kind of report sometime between now and June of 2015 as to what the progress is. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or comments from the board? Are there any public comment at this time? I need a motion and a second to accept and approve all the reports, reviews, and recommendations by the staff. I have a motion from Mr. Sanders, a second from Mr. Emil Cordero. All in favor? Any opposed? The motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. Mr. Cordero has a motion. A second is Mr. Schutz. The Lease Review Committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination Tract Evaluation Committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Arnold, Segura, Mr. Schutz,
here.
Mr. Bruyette,
here.
Lambert, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders,
present.
Mr. Smith,
here.
Mr. Klein, Mr. Hike. We have a quorum, and I appoint Emil Fontenot as my designee to present the agenda items. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, gentlemen. Approval by the board was previously granted to the staff to process and advertise 23 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the March 12, 2014 mineral lease sale, this office received 40 nominations for advertisement. We have a request from the staff to withdraw tract 44277 containing 474.47 acres situated in Lincoln Parish, Louisiana. This tract was incorrectly described and therefore incorrectly advertised. The staff recommends that tract 44277 be withdrawn from today's lease sale and the staff given authority to re-advertise this tract for the next available lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the staff. Motion by Mr. Sanders, second. Mr. Smith, any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Go ahead.
The last item is two nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the May 13, 2015 lease sale or pending approval by the board for advertising. For the May 14, 2014 lease sale, this office received 47 nominations for advertisement. The staff recommends they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at this office for the May 2015 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Bruyette. Any public comment? Comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Motion and second to adjourn committee. Motion Smith, second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, I forgot Paul's not here. Okay. I need to call to order the audit committee, please. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Arnold, Segura, Mr. Schutz,
here.
Mr. Bruyette,
here.
Mr. Lambert, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders,
present.
Mr. Smith, Mr. Klein, Mr. Hyde. And we have a quorum. I appoint Rachel Newman as my designee to present the agenda items. Good morning.
Before we get started, I need to add an addendum to give a field audit presentation as item number 4 on the agenda.
Motion by Mr. Schutz. Need a second from Mrs. Swift. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
As of February 28th of 2015, field audit collections totaled $964,200.86. This includes $948,037.79 in royalty exceptions, $8,348.96 in interest, and $7,814.11 in penalties. We had one audit closed in February, and two new audits were engaged, bringing the current total number of open royalty audits to 54. Total royalties collected in February are $28,680,955.20. And fiscal year-to-date royalty collections through February total $333,996,050.68, as compared to $43,893,086.42 for the month of February 2014, and fiscal year to date for 2014 at the same time of $381,198,380.87. Total monthly state royalty reports submitted in February are 399, which includes 152 SR1s for oil, 181 SR2s for gas, and 66 SR5s for plant products. The current average oil price per barrel as of February 28th is $55.01, as compared to the average price on February 28th of 2014, which was $106.16. The current average gas price per MMBTU as of February 28, 2015 is $2.85, as compared to the previous price last year of $5.97. Item number one on the agenda is a request to place Louisiana Land and Exploration Company on final demand for outstanding audit issues which were the result of a field audit. The audit period covered January of 06 through December of 09. An initial billing letter was sent on June 21, 2013, and a revised billing was sent January 5, 2014 for $54,826.81. Payment for two exceptions was received on March 17, 2014, and they totaled $10,737.85. The remaining amount of royalty to the state is $44,088.97. A second billing was issued on June 5, 2014, followed by a pre-demand on July 28, 2014. Ongoing attempts have been made since this time to resolve the outstanding issues to no avail. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
Okay. I need a motion and second to accept the motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment on this item? Any comments from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
Item number two is a staff report to the committee on June Operating Company. They filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on March 8, 2015. They have been a payer of record since July 2007. Total royalty paid to date by June Operating Company is $34,160,637.83. June Operating Company's last audit was in 2009, and this covered July 2007 through December 2008. June Operating Company has been added to the current year's audit schedule, and this is just for informational purposes. No board action is required. Item number three is the staff report to the committee that the election for March 2015 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. And hopefully you all have a copy of the presentation on field audit. So if there's no questions on the agenda, I'm going to go ahead and present that.
Yeah, I did forget to ask if there were any public comment on adding that to the agenda. Is there any public comment? Thank you.
Okay, this is just kind of an outline of how we go about our field audit process. There are several steps involved, so hopefully this kind of clarifies and provides a little more information on that process. As part of the preliminary work, we always send an engagement letter. It's issued to the payer several weeks prior to the start date, and we are flexible in accommodations and in scheduling and changing within reason and for a valid cause. The engagement letter will include everything that we wish to test, the sample months, the fields, and the products. But it's always at our discretion to add any additional months or any additional fields into the audit as we see fit. The payer is instructed not to submit any prior period royalty adjustments during that audit period, during once we've engaged the audit. The auditor contacts the payer to set up the entry conference, and that's where they discuss everything that's going to be involved in the audit. Requests may be submitted to the payer during preliminary work and prior to the audit start date. For field work and testing, the products to be audited may include oil, gas, and NGLs depending upon materiality. The items which will be tested include, but are certainly not limited to, volume, price, decimal, and deductions taken, including severance taxes. The documentation provided must include third-party statements and contracts and marketing agreements for each product produced, utilized, processed, flared, vented, and or sold. We depend very heavily on the third-party documents. We will not audit without them. We cannot audit without them. Lack of cooperation in providing documentation will slow the audit process. We just have to wait. We're at their mercy when it comes to this, and it will slow everything down. Testing may be expanded if any numerous exceptions are noted, and that is at our discretion. Findings and billings. Once we've completed all of our on-site work, the payer is provided with a summary of all audit findings. They will receive either a formal billing or a no findings letter upon completion of the audit, and we do issue no findings letters, believe it or not. The interest and penalty are billed separately after payment of the audit findings. The payer may make payments on the findings during the audit and as they become apparent. They don't have to wait for the billing. They can do it at any time if they wish to decrease the interest and penalty that will be assessed on the end. A payer has 30 days after payment is made to submit their royalty reports. So they're submitting royalty reports that cover all of those exceptions, and they do have to do that in addition to paying the exceptions. A request for penalty waiver must be submitted in writing. Penalty waivers are considered only after everything is taken care of. The royalty is paid, the interest is paid, and the royalty reports are submitted. They will not be considered for a penalty waiver until all of this is done. If the payer disagrees with the billing, a written response explaining their reasons along with any supporting documentation should be submitted directly to me. The payer has 30 days from the date of the billing letter to respond to the state concerning the audit, but an extension may be requested, and that's not unusual for us to grant an extension just to give them a little bit of extra time to review the exceptions and to provide the additional documents. Some of the common errors that we see during the audit are non-payment of lease use, an incorrect decimal reported, a failure to use a market and or contract price, volume errors, severance tax errors, and disallowed deductions. Are there any questions related to the field audit?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Rachel, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
This new format, relatively new, where you give us an update on the item that you discussed earlier about field audit collections and amounts to date, et cetera. That's on a fiscal year basis?
Yes, sir. So that's as of July 1st through current, through February.
Second item that I would like to discuss with you is LL&E.
Yes, sir.
Do we have any information on this entity? I know it's up. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have any information in the discussions as to why they haven't honored this this bill?
sorry about that. Kind of scared myself. We kind of get into positions sometimes with companies where we dig in our heels. We agree on, we feel a certain way about the exceptions. They disagree with those exceptions. That's basically where we stand with this one. It's not for lack of trying, but they disagree with the exceptions, so this is the logical next step.
I have one more question, please.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dune, operating bankruptcy here. Do you have a number of where that might impact on us from a dollar standpoint, state?
I don't have that number right now. As I stated, I can tell you that they paid $34 million in royalty since 2007. Let me see. I do have a copy of the previous audit with me, and I can tell you how much was assessed on that previous audit. And again, that audit covered 2007 through 2008. Let's see. The audit amount paid for that audit, which included the interest and penalty, was $994,000. So that audit, I can tell you, the preliminary work started the day after we got the bankruptcy notice. So that one is currently being considered, and it is given priority.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Sanders, may I speak to that as well?
Yes, sir. I'd like to hear
it. Ryan Sidon with the Attorney General's Office. Just keep in mind, too, with the bankruptcies that the companies, and this is Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and the AG's office is in the process of enrolling to protect the state's interests, not just the board, but conservation and maybe one other office in DNR. Point is that if they want to keep the leases during bankruptcy, they got to keep paying. They got to adhere to those terms. So theoretically, we should just see business as usual continuance on our leases. So we shouldn't see any real hiccups with this. We don't expect, at least with the Chapter 11.
Well, thank you for the comment. That translates in my mind, simply speaking, to the benefit of the creditors and the court, bankruptcy court, to facilitate the continuation of the lease.
Absolutely. It allows them to keep paying their bills.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thank you. I think the answer to my question was just the answer, but I'll ask you just in case it wasn't. Rachel, thank you for the explanation of the process and the document you just provided to us. I appreciate that. With regard to LL&E, we've gone to a final demand. What is the next step? Just my own education, my own notification. What's the next step? And if we need to engage Ryan as well, we'll do that.
Once we issue a final demand on an audit, it basically allows the Attorney General's office to file litigation on behalf of us should we get to that point. Typically, when we place an auditor, when we place a payer on demand, it kind of gets the ball rolling. It catches their attention, and that's really what we want. We want to get them to the table. We want to start talking, seriously about these exceptions. We want them to take our position in consideration, and we're going to look closely at their position as well.
In terms, you said it gets the ball rolling, so you expect at some point they'll come to the table, you'll begin a new conversation of sorts.
That is the hope.
That is the hope. So what if they don't?
Then I get Jackson and Ryan involved.
State file suit?
Potentially.
It usually just becomes, it first comes over to us for negotiating purposes, and I guess I'll back Rachel up on that, too, that if and it has come to that point on several matters, as you all know, and oftentimes once we get involved, then if a company has been lackadaisical in how they've handled the demands from the department, they tend to be a bit more responsive when we get involved, because at that point, a lot of times these things have been handled internally at the companies. Maybe they have in-house counsel, maybe they don't. And they tend to downplay the exposure. So when it gets to us, a lot of times that, too, gets them to wake up and say, okay, we need to deal with these issues. But if it doesn't, certainly suit is on the table as an option.
And if I may add, every billing letter, including the pre-demand, comes from me. I'm the one that signs it. When we get to demand status, the letter that's issued to the company and the letter that they receive has Ryan or Jackson's signature on it. So it carries a little bit more weight, I think, with some people.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
So the pre-demand letter that is sent out, that was sent out June 5th, signed by you.
Yes, sir.
So
it's sent certified.
The pre-demand letter by the Attorney General's office.
Yes, sir.
We're not talking about a lot of money, $44,000.
No, we're not. So hopefully,
what is the exception? I mean, not the exception, but what is the problem with LL&E? Which one of these five or six that you listed?
In this case, in this case, it's just an issue of they disagree with the exceptions. They don't agree that they are valid exceptions. We cited them for marketing and administrative fees. That's what this exception is related to. It's only one exception outstanding, and they just disagree with it, plain and simple. They've provided additional documents, and we've said we don't agree with the additional documents. We still think this exception stands. So it's not, it's not an issue of, I would not say it's an issue of them ignoring us, but it is at a stalemate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just have a quick question, Rachel. They have 30 days to respond. Is that to pay? How long do they have to pay if they owe us?
It is 30 days to respond. If they need an extension, though, they are at liberty to request an extension.
Any other questions? Good report. Thank you. I need a motion and second to adjourn audit committee. Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Brouillette. All in favor? Any opposed? Committee's closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel. Good morning, Ms. Tech.
Good morning, sir.
Good to see you this morning, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Your other friend's not coming up here with you today? I mean, we have this long agenda. I want to be sure we finish it before.
Well, I was about to mention, y'all get a cup of coffee, sit back, because we have a very, very complicated agenda today.
Designate Mr. Heck for legal entitled controversy committee presentation. Thank you.
You got to do the roll call.
Yes, sir. I'll be glad to do that. Mr. Arnold, Mr. Segura, Mr. Schutz,
here.
Mr. Cordero,
here.
Mr. Sanders is present, Mr. Smith, Mr. Brouillette,
here.
Mr. Klein,
here.
Mr. Morton,
here.
Mr. Lambert, Mr. Hike. Mr. Chairman, we have 8 members present and a quorum.
Thank you very much.
All right. This large agenda we have, one item in executive session. It's a suit titled Martin Marks Minerals, LLC versus State of Louisiana, docket number 53002, 25th Judicial District Court, Plaquemine Parish, Louisiana. So it's an executive session.
We need a motion to go into executive session. The chair will entertain a motion. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Can I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Pine. Any objection? Public comment? We're in the executive session. Thank you. Chair will entertain a motion to deal with the motion. Thank you. You're a second. Thank you. We have a motion. Ms. Tech.
Okay. On the item discussed in the executive session, we're asking the board to authorize the Attorney General to negotiate on the terms and conditions offered in executive session and to report back to the board either on a settlement or an impasse, depending on which is reached.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Is there any discussion by the board or any question by the board or any public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hear none, the motion carries unanimously.
And that's all there is.
Motion to adjourn, please. Thank you very much. Any objection? Adjourn. adjourn.
Good morning. Roll call for the Docket Review Committee. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura. Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Bruyette.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Lambert. Mr. Morton. Mr. Sanders.
President.
Mr. Klein. Mr. Height. We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Docket Review Committee meeting, and I designate Mr. Dennis to please present the agenda.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the March 11, 2015 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve item number one. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number one through items 15. Please, for items 16 through items 24, please approve subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Approve items number 25 through items 30. Item 31, approve subject to the approval of the Governor. Please approve item 32. And item 33, approve subject to the approval of the Governor. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. And for Category D, advertised proposals, there were no items submitted for this category, and that will complete the staff's recommendations to the Docket Review Committee.
So moved.
At this time, we have a little time before we're supposed to start the meeting at 11, so we're going to afford the members of the audience an opportunity to make public comments, anything you'd like to address or bring to the board's attention. To ensure that everyone who wishes to speak would have adequate time to speak, we're going to ask, although this is not part of the board meeting, we're going to ask that you adhere to the board policy on length of comments, which would be no more than 10 minutes per person. So anyone who'd like to speak is welcome to come to the table and speak at the mic.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pat Theophilus, Theophilus Oil and Gas. As you all know, we're going through a crisis right now regarding our oil and gas industry out there. And, of course, I can't make comments for everybody. There are numerous things that I have looked at over my 42 years being in the mineral program itself. And one thing that you may want to consider is maybe putting this out on the state's website to address and have the public comment regarding items that may be able to work with both situations, whereas with the state of Louisiana as well as industry. In other words, come to a happy media ground, okay? Just like what we did with the new state lease forms. In other words, what we did, we went ahead and put something, the Mineral Board put something out there for the public view in which the public had time to go ahead and send in their comments and response. Then from that, we went ahead and reviewed the comments, and then it's just kind of proceeding forward from there. There are several items that I would like to mention that may need to be looked at. Number one is the possibility, with these rentals. You've got these companies that are kind of concerned at this time regarding some of these very, very high-cost rentals that are coming due. And again, this is just an idea. Maybe consider like an extension on some of these leases, for like an additional 2 years, but still go ahead as far as the same price per acre along with the royalty. What you're getting into is situations where your companies may have another year and a half left on their rental and on the lease itself, and they're trying to decide whether or not it would be feasible to go ahead at this time when there's hardly any production going on And as far as any selling of the oil products, whether or not just to go ahead and hold off a little bit or to go ahead and maybe renominate this at a later date. So, again, what you're doing is you basically could be forfeiting your lease or go ahead and give the options to these companies for an extension on those lease. Back in the 80s when I was part of the mineral board, we had a situation similar to this. It was a downtime. And what the board back then decided to go ahead and do, they came up with what they called the work bid. What the work bid basically was, the nominating party and the lessor, whoever it was granted to, had at least obligation where they were committed to go ahead and drill a well within the first year of the actual lease itself, okay? In regards to that, the price per acre was reduced quite a bit along with the royalty. But what this, the main goal and point with this was to go ahead and get the operation back and going in the state of Louisiana, which it seemed to be pretty successful during that time period. But again, I can't make all the comments for these companies. These companies may have different ideas than what I do, but this is just some of my thoughts regarding the situation that we're currently in. But it is a very serious you know, situation that, of course, you know, both for the state as well as individuals like myself on the outside. Any of y'all have any questions? Or?
I have a question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sanders.
You mentioned we obviously can't or wouldn't be able to deal with the rentals issue on existing, I don't think, on existing leases. Because we have a contract.
Right, right. I'm sorry.
We're speaking about new leases and new activities.
That would be correct. Or, and again, as far as the legality is concerned, I've even mentioned this to some of the other individuals, I'm not sure whether or not anything could be done regarding an extension. You know, what action would need to be taken. But it is something to definitely think about because when you have some of these rentals, you know, for some of these plays like the Haynesville or whatever it may be, I mean, there's a lot of thought going in that right now because, again, the market's not there, and they're not going to drill it. I can pretty well assure you they're going to hold off until they.
Historically, extensions were granted on a case-by-case basis, but in order for that to be done, the state required more money and more royalty, and I think given the current climate, I think it would be sufficient to let the royalty be the same and the rental be the same. Just merely extend the lease by a couple of years. If I'm forced to make a decision whether I want to pay the next rental or let it go, and I don't expect to do anything for the next year or so, then obviously I'll release that lease and not pay the rental. But if the state will agree to extend my lease, then I know that even though I'm not going to do anything in the next year or two, I may do something 2 or 3 years from now, so I will continue to pay my rental. And that could be a win-win for the state and the industry. I can keep my lease and possibly drill a well in 2 or 3 years. And in the meantime, the state can get my rental.
Mr. Pike, may I have one follow-up before you? What could you give us a thumbnail? I read about it in the Wall Street Journal and news articles. Could you give us a thumbnail of what you really mean about things are very bad out there? We know I was struck by the falling price of natural gas.
Right.
In 1 year from $2.05 to $2.
Right. Well, Joey and I both went to a meeting that LAOGA recently had, which Mr. Don Briggs had did the presentation. And, in fact, after the presentation itself, Joey and I were just amazed and very, very concerned because of the way he basically had indicated all of this was, you know, it doesn't look good for the overall state. You know, of course, nobody knows when this thing may do a, you know, about face. We're all hoping, you know, within, you know, this year. But basically, the companies that are laying off, it's just, you know, in the Lafayette, the New Orleans, Houston, that sort of thing. Some of the companies are just kind of like in a standby mode right now. They're not really just kind of a wait-and-see situation. Of course, at today's lease sale, we did see a few, you know, a few good bids out there. But still in all, the overall response that, you know, I'm hearing on the outside is, you know, we're just going to kind of just wait and see. You know, like I said, you can look at the about a month or two back at the nominations that were submitted, and you had very, very, very few bids. And that's the thing that's got me kind of concerned. And like Joey said, you know, really and truly, if this extension could occur, and again, as far as the legality, I'm not that familiar with it or what would have to be done. But still in all, it would benefit the state because you're still going to continue getting that rental money. It's just for the extended, you know, time period. Whereas, you know, you're going to kind of make it a little bit more encouraging for the operator of those leases just to kind of wait and see instead of going ahead and just releasing this thing. Who's to say, you know, they could release it and then nominate it later on. But still in all, you still got that guarantee for those extra 2 years when things pick up that they may go ahead and just go follow on through with that well and get it going for the state.
Thank you very much.
Sir, my question dealt with, you said in the 80s they went to a work bid situation.
Yes, sir.
And how long was that in place?
I would have to look at some of my records that I have at the office, but I want to say it was for about a year or so. This was during the downfall. Really and truly, this is about the least amount of nominations that I have ever seen, again, as far as the state is concerned. I mean, it's very, very critical. And, you know, if we don't get those nominations, if we don't get something out there to encourage industry to go ahead and get this state rocking and rolling, I mean, it's affecting everybody.
I think the bid form was changed at that time to include additional considerations. And the bid form hasn't changed. You can still add additional considerations in your bid.
Well,
I don't know if it was ever extinguished.
I do recall on the nomination form itself, whereas we had to go, the companies had to go ahead and indicate whether or not it was considered a work bid or just a regular bid, and which more would be taken into consideration if it was a work bid as far as going ahead and trying to get this thing up and rolling.
Well, from a personal standpoint, I think you make a good case that we need to look at this. I mean, we can't come to a conclusion
right
today.
No, sir. No,
but,
sir.
But, you know, the Mineral Board has a responsibility, in my mind at least, to be good stewards of the natural resources, number one, but number two, to be good stewards of what it produces for our state. And what you're telling me is that there's been some precedent set, which we need to maybe look at. I like the idea of, personally, I like the idea of going to the public and saying, what are your thoughts? Put it in writing. Come before this board or whatever other board. What can we do to help you? We're not going to sell the state to you all, if you will. But on the other hand, if we can do something that is fair, want to assist those to produce, then we should. But we also should have a time frame, and we should have some type of a framework where we can end this gratuity, if you will, at the proper time. In my mind, I think that would be a good idea, unless I hear something to the contrary, because where I am in New Iberia, you know, I can see it's coming.
Right.
No question
about it.
Oh,
it's definitely.
And on the other hand, if we get a step up from other states, maybe we can gain something in the future. I don't know that much about it, but I would think that at the very least we ought to listen to what the industry has to say and maybe draw some kind of conclusion thereafter.
Well, the sad thing is, like I said, as long as I've been in this program itself, you know, I've done seminar talks for your various associations regarding now being on the outside. And, you know, you look out in your audience and, you know, for a long time you see very few. Then it started increasing more and more. Then your younger people started getting involved with our profession and everything. And now all of a sudden here I am getting phone calls, and I'm sure others as well, you know, from some of these young people. I mean, they're just basically, you know, little families and stuff like that. You know, at least I've been very blessed. I retired from the state of Louisiana. But some of these younger kids and so forth, it's just very, very sad. But all we're saying is just a happy medium ground between the state of Louisiana as well as with our profession, where we can all just work this thing out together. Because, and I know that, you know, it would benefit every single body, you know, here.
I'd like to call on Mr. Vaughn at this time. The staff has done a little research on the work bid process, because most of us weren't here back in the 80s. Mr. Vaughn has some comments regarding what we've found.
Thank you, Ms. Dally. The work bids back when the concept was originally considered back in 1984, the work bid concept was that it would be for a one-year lease. Potential bidder would have to submit all data to the staff prior to the lease sale to see if the track warranted being a work bid track. But the main thing was it was a one-year lease. You had to drill within that year, and then it was a continuous drilling obligation after that first well to maintain the lease in order a new well every 90 days. I don't recall, but I mean it was pretty onerous as far as it's just a one-year lease, and it did what happened. The actual work bid, there was never a lease form, from what I could tell, that was ever made for the work bids. The bid form was changed to allow an additional consideration, and there were some bids. When it started in July 1984, there were several companies that bid the additional consideration, and they were using that as the work bid. They bid it that they would drill a well within a certain amount of time to a certain depth, and if they didn't drill the well, then they would pay to the state a liquidated damages payment, which was fairly large. Basically, what we have today, you can do a work bid. If the board wants to consider, if someone wants to come in and bid a track, and as additional consideration, they want to bid, you know, that they'll drill a well to 12,000 feet within a year, and if they don't, they pay the state liquidated damages. And if the board would, they can bid a low price per acre. And if the board is, willing, the board can accept that bid. I mean, but the work bid concept that was framed back in 1984, they never went forward with it, other than using the additional consideration.
So Victor, if I understand this correctly, it works. In the financial markets, we use options. So it's, in essence, an option to do something in the future, and you pay for that option up front. So if I understand it correctly, the way the program worked is that you had some minimal amount of consideration for the option to do something within a year's period.
So right. I mean, it wasn't really an option. I mean, you either did it or you paid a liquidated damages payment.
You lose your money. So, I mean, you could exercise your option if you're buying a stock. You could exercise the option and capture the gain, or you did not exercise and just lose whatever you paid for the option. The price
right.
is not correct.
In some cases, TIPCO was a company that bid on some tracks under the work bid, and they bid like $17 an acre and quite a bit of additional consideration. There really weren't that many companies that bid the low price per acre. You know, they used the work bid or the additional consideration, you know, that they would drill a well within a certain amount of time so that the staff could consider that. And if someone else bid and they didn't bid an additional consideration, a commitment to drill a well, then the staff would see that as a value to the state, the drilling of that well.
Okay, so I recognize that it's not a perfect analogy in the sense of a stock option, for instance. But what happens, Mr. Theopoulos mentioned that no one knows when the market's going to turn around, and maybe a 180 next week for all we know. What happens in the instance the market turns around? Is the state exposed at that point to a bunch of work bids that are perhaps below market? Do the value of the leases become much greater if the market turns around? The state is sort of stuck with
right. I mean, we'll be under contract for a certain price per acre. The company's also committed to do something.
Right. So we just need to be mindful of that going forward and make sure that's considered as well. Thank you.
But Vic, I was going to mention too. I did a little bit of not a whole lot, but research regarding some of these companies. But back then, you had. Peltex had been on some of this stuff. Texaco had been on some of that stuff. Chevron had been on some. I want to say Exxon, I believe, had even been on some of that stuff. on some of the records that I'd had from way, way back as well. But it did get things, you know, looked at and got it going a little bit back during that time period, more so than what we're seeing now.
You know, actually, the board requested comments from industry, and oddly enough, the majority of industry was against the work bid concept as was proposed at that time in 1984, mainly with the release of data. That was one of their main concerns.
Mr. Cordero has a question.
What are your thoughts on the two-year extension idea that they talked about?
You know, personally, I don't see a problem with the board. If they wanted to, they could make, you know, all leases five-year terms. I mean, the primary term can be up to 10 years. You know, some companies, you know, we gave, you may recall LeBay several months back came in and we did an extension for them at the, you know, increased bonus and price per acre or royalty. But they actually, they decided not even to execute the bonus, I mean, the extension.
I'd like to, Mr. Seidemann, to also comment on Mr. Cordero's question. As far as extending an existing lease without the state receiving any additional compensation, would that violate Article 7, Section 14 of the Constitution?
I think it would. I think this would either have to be done and off the cuff. I'm not even going to say that it would comply with the public bid requirements for the leases. It could certainly be done on a go-forward basis on leases that don't exist. Existing leases, no. It just to unilaterally do that would be a donation in violation of Article 7, Section 14. Whether that's something that can be reformed through payment of additional consideration is a different question. And that I don't know the answer to that sitting here today.
But we have an industry that is coming down on, you know, on its knees, if you will. We have a responsibility, in my mind, and you're right, we need to look for some way to help them. And if there's a way to help them, if there's a way, I think we have that responsibility. I don't know what it is at the present time. These gentlemen have a couple of ideas. Maybe other members of the industry have other ideas. We have an obligation. We're not going to give it away because the Constitution doesn't allow that. But we have an obligation to look at this industry and try to help this industry as best we can without giving away the store, so to speak. In my mind, at least, we do. And so my question would be, you know, what is this commission, what should we do at this particular point in time to facilitate this and at least get information back from the public, not only from these two gentlemen, but other members of the industry that may want to give us ideas? Because that's where good ideas come from. Didn't come from me, you know, I'm limited. But the real ideas are going to come from the industry, and we just got to take that, in my mind at least, and posture it so that it's beneficial to the state and to the industry, to try to help the industry at a time without giving away the house.
Yeah. You know, one thing I looked at was, excuse me, Stacey.
In the year, and back in the 80s, it maybe a different approach needs to be taken today than was back then. That just, in my mind, was something that set the precedent for us to be able to say, hey, let's relax whatever we're doing right now and help this industry get back on its feet. I don't know what this work bid issue is all about. I'd like to know more about it, but maybe there's another vehicle that we can use to help our state and our industry.
You know, I think there's certain things that are under the control of the board, and there's some things that aren't, that are more of an influence on what's going on in the industry today. The price per acre, looking back in the 80s, hasn't changed much. If you look back at the price per acre we were getting back in the mid-80s, early 80s, it's, you know, $250, $300 an acre, and that's kind of what we're getting now. The big change is you look at drilling costs. Back in the 80s, you know, $300 an acre for a 500-acre lease was a good chunk of money, and you could drill a well for a couple hundred thousand back then. So if we took a less price per acre and they could put that money on drilling a well, it meant something. But today, you know, well cost, they're probably 12,000-foot wells and cost you $4 million. You know, and the price per acre for a, it was, if the lease was all state acreage, $200 an acre for, you know, 200,000 acres, $200,000, that's peanuts.
Mr. Sanders had a question, I believe.
I just had a comment or two. I'm not trying to be prescient or anything, but the Mideast cartel, and none of this is politics, it's just the realities of what I'm reading and hearing. The Mideast cartel has released something in the last 4 or 5 days that they're continuing to pump and have ever intention to continue to pump all of the oil they can pump because they feel, in their judgment, that they have substantially destroyed or reduced our shale operation, and it's been so productive for us in certain instances. And then, not politics now, we're talking about geopolitical concepts in my judgment, but Iran has more oil than they could use and pump out of the ground for hundreds of years, from what I'm hearing. Well, if, and we have this deadline coming up with the possibility of the deal with Iran that's being negotiated by the president, non-political, these are realities. We might be on a trend line here, unfortunately, of a downturn in the oil industry of substantial nature in this country. If they get their agreement and there are no sanctions and they can pump oil and sell oil on the world market, they can undercut us by a tremendous amount. These are just observations based on my limited knowledge of what I read. I have a lot of interest in it, but don't have any expertise. Thank you.
And like I said, we're just a small, small piece of this pie, okay? So with that in mind, you know, I think the best idea is to go ahead and put something out there for industry's response, and, you know, they may have even better ideas. Mm-hmm. Again, these are just some of our thoughts, you know, regarding this. But
we'd like to afford an opportunity for anyone else to address the board. If there's anyone else in the audience who would like to come forward, you're welcome to do that.
Who are you addressing?
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to address the board? Looks like we don't have any additional commenters.
I would like to see some additional information submitted to the board and other opportunities to discuss these issues. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Madam Chairman, is it necessary that we make a motion?
No, sir. It was not an official transaction of the board. We didn't have a published agenda or anything, so it's just an information only. But you would like to make a motion for the staff to do some research during the regular board meeting, that would certainly be appropriate.
Well, I think what I'd like to make a motion, you tell me if it's appropriate, is that between now and the next meeting that staff make a recommendation to us as to whether, number one, whether or not the staff thinks it's meritorious, and number two, if the staff does believe it's meritorious, then to develop an agenda, if you will, for a public hearing. So I'll make that motion.
We can't make motions right now. The meeting's in recess.
No, I understand that.
And I think any discussion of the motions needs to be held, or suggestion of what motions might be needs to be held in.
Yeah, and during a general meeting.
Back in yes. Session, yes.
We have a minute until time to open the board meeting, and I'll call on Chairman Smith. We need to reopen the docket committee briefly and correct one of our recommendations, please, sir.
Roll call. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Bruyette.
Here.
Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Lambert. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Morton. Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Klein. Mr. Hite. We have a quorum. I hereby reconvene the docket review committee. For clarification, Mr. Dennis, would you please proceed? Thank you.
Thank you. The staff wishes to change its recommendations to the docket review committee as follows. Under category B, item number one, please change our recommendation from approve to defer. And we ask that the board will please approve our recommendations as revised.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Any public comments at this time? I need a motion and a second to approve.
So moved.
Second.
The clarification by Mr. Dennis. I have a motion from Mr. Cordero, a second from Mr. Segura. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the docket review committee.
So moved to adjourn.
We need a second. I have a motion from Mr. Segura, a second from Mr. Cordero. Docket review committee meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and at this time, it's time for the regular board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Ms. Talley, would you give us a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Schutz.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Sanders is present. Mr. Smith. Mr. Bruyette. Mr. Klein. Mr. Morton. Mr. Lambert. Mr. Hike.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 9 members present and a quorum.
Great, thank you. Item 2 is the approval of the February 11th, 2015 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Motion by Mr. Bruyette. Second by Mr. Klein. Any discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. A, Lease Review Committee. B, Nomination and Track Committee. C, Audit Committee. D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee. And E, Docket Review Committee. Are there any discussions or questions about those committee recommendations? Any public comment? Do I have a motion to approve the recommendations of those committees? Moved by Ms. Bruyette. Second by Mr. Martin. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 4 is our executive session for our technical briefing. Are we ready? Vic? Okay. Like a motion to go into recess for our technical briefing. Do I have a motion? Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Schutz. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We're in short recess. We'll be back in a second.
Glenda, sorry, Greg. Just checking.
All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of the recess of our technical briefing. Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Bruyette. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. At this time, I appoint Mr. Vic Vaughn to present the information to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On track number 44273, the staff recommends the bid of Antrim Exploration. On track number 44274, the staff recommends the bid of Scheffler Energy. On 44275, the staff recommends the bid of Carrie Sue Energy. On track number 44276, the staff recommends the bid of Scheffler Energy. On track number 44280, the staff recommends the bid of Scheffler Energy. As to the other tracks receiving bids, the staff recommends that those bids be accepted.
Thank you. Are there any discussions or questions about any of those bids? Any public comment? Do you have a motion to accept those bids? Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Morton. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 6 is announcements. Ms. Talley?
Yes, sir. The total for today's lease sale is $2,202,616.44. That brings the fiscal year-to-date total to just under $10.3 million.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other announcements?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hike?
I'd like to make a motion dealing with the subject matter that we were discussing earlier.
Oh, that's right.
And let me see if I can walk through this motion that is understandable and has the blessing of our secretary, because I think it's important. My motion is would be for our mineral board to have a public hearing on the state of the industry at the present time. Prior to that public hearing, that the staff would notify industry that we are concerned about the state of the industry and that we ask for suggestions to be made to the staff prior to this public hearing in written form, and the staff evaluate those requests. The public hearing would not, in my mind at least, be limited just to what suggestions were made to the staff, so that it would not just be simply based on the ideas that were presented, allow it to be open for any other comments to be made at that public hearing. And also that the staff at that, either at that public hearing or prior to that, give us an outline of the legal parameters in which we might be of assistance to the industry. I'm a bit, you know, we have to be cognizant of the limitations from a constitutional standpoint and a contractual standpoint. I'm not sure what those limitations are, but I'd like to know before that public hearing what those limitations would be. So that would be my motion. Don't ask me to repeat it.
All right.
I think that's the content of what I'm attempting to accomplish.
Mr. Hike has made a motion to have a public hearing concerning the state of the industry and to discuss some issues with that. Do I have a second to Mr. Hike's motion? Second by Ms. Bruyer. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. If there's no other business or announcements, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Klein. Any public comment on that? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We are adjourned. We'll see you next month. Thank you.